Number one, live by a routine. Live by a routine. The less time you have to spend making a decision about what to do, the more prone you are to do it. So for me, I don't have to make a decision in the morning whether or not I'm going to read my Bible. That's not even up for debate. It's reflexive. I get out of bed, and depending on when I get out, it depends on when the dogs get up. But normally I get out of bed, they hear me, they went up. I get out of bed, I let the dogs outside, I go to my study, and I read my Bible. And I spend time in prayer. That's just my routine. I get done with that. On certain days of the week, I'm going to the gym. On certain days of the week, I come to the office. On certain days of the week, I get in the sauna. On certain days of the week. And so your routine doesn't have to be the same every day. Here's the great lie of a routine. People say, well, I have to have the same routine all day, every day. That's impossible. Because you're coming to church on Sunday, but you're not coming to church on Monday. So your routine's going to be a little bit different. You're going to go to work on Monday, but you're not going to go to work on Saturday, whatever the case may be. But live by a routine that you don't have to think about it. Some of the great innovators of our day, guys like Steve Jobs, wore the same thing to work every day. They say Barack Obama had one suit that he wore his entire presidency. Now, he had several of them, but he had one suit. Why? So he never had to think about it. I told Debbie, I'm buying one shirt. That's all I'm wearing. This is what you're going to see for the rest of my life. But I'm not buying several, just one, just single one. Have a general work of a routine. Number two, eat a healthy diet. This should be number one. Eat regularly. When I went through a period of great depression in my life, this is what I didn't do. I didn't eat regularly. And what I ate was things like a bag of Fritos because they're good, and Mountain Dew. And I could kill a bag of Fritos and Mountain Dew and just sit in front of the TV. And let me be honest with you, I could just zone out while doing that. Eat regularly, eat a healthy diet. Eat non-sugary foods. That may mean some of you have to turn around the product or the thing and figure out how much sugar is actually in there. Because just because it says healthy doesn't mean it is healthy. Just because we say things, if you haven't figured this out, advertisers are more concerned about the sell than they are your health. So we know that eating too much dessert and processed food contributes to physical health problems like obesity and type 2 diabetes. Far less has been given to the impact of a high sugar diet on mental health, even though almost every study, and I think it is every study, have shown damaging effects that sugar has on mood, on learning, and on quality of life. In addition to inflating waistlines and acne, sugar and other sweeteners, including high fructose corn syrup, including honey, including molasses, including maple syrup, contribute to a number of mental health, if you will, problems like depression. The roller coaster of blood sugar, high blood sugar crashing, accentuate the symptoms of what depression often is referred to as a mood disorder. Research has tied heavy sugar consumption to an increased risk of depression and worse outcomes in individuals with schizophrenia. Sugar is not your friend. Now, here's what we know, okay? We know this empirically or anecdotally, we know this, and we know this from research, that as soon as you eat sugar, you feel better. Like you eat it and you're like, oh, dude, I feel so much better. It immediately lowers the level of depression and anxiety causing hormones in your brain. Immediately. That's why people eat it. Like, I just feel bad. How many of you ever said something like this? I feel like I need a, you fill in the blank. I feel like I need a Snicker bar. I feel like I need a Dr. Pepper. I feel like I need a sweet tea from Granny's house. If you're from the South, you know what I'm talking about. If you're from Hawaii, you have no idea what words just came out of my mouth. Sweet tea, it's a drink. It's a beverage that people from the South drink, Bo. And it tastes really good with a lot of sugar in it. And the more sugar to tea ratio, the better it tastes. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like, oh, yeah, like, I could tell stories. Bill Griffith used to make tea when we were under construction for this, and Bill would put like a teaspoon of sugar in for a gallon. We had some dudes from Texas come, and they were like, Pastor, we're carrying guns. We'll kill that man if he does that again. I'm like, I've been telling him forever, shoot him. Shoot him. It's worth it. Let's kill him right now. And then Bill went to the other and started putting like 4 gallons of sugar in for 1 gallon. It was like tea brittle. And so, but we know that sugar does lower, has an immediate effect. But within about 40 minutes, it actually reverses itself in the brain. And I don't want to get super technical. I'll leave that for Jay. But I have it all written out. But it reverses itself and it accentuates the burdensome issues of depression in the brain. It's not like, by the way, this isn't a Baptist pastor that wrote this. Matter of fact, a Baptist would argue against this. This is just the reality of what sugar does to the body. It accentuates or exacerbates, if we'd like to use that word, depression in every single study that's been done. It accentuates or exaggerates anxiety. The standard American diet, which is full of sugar and fat, doesn't cause it necessarily, but it does seem to worsen its effect. Even those like parents often say, like, I don't know what's wrong with my kid. They're always so anxious. Well, you're giving them those applesauce packs that are like overly filled with sugar. It has an effect. Matter of fact, I'm working on a new daycare food restrictions for our daycare. If parents who bring that, I'm going to charge them more every time they bring it, and we're not feeding their kids. Not that. To the point where if they keep it up, I'm going to fire the parent. You say, are you allowed to do that? You bet I am. My name's on the dotted line. And I'm used to court, so we're good. Doesn't even depress me anymore. Bernie, on the other hand, it depresses him. Eat a brain healthy diet. These are all things, honestly, these are things that I do. So I'm not encouraging you to do something that's just theoretical. This is very practical. I eat a brain healthy diet. What? Foods that support a good mood, fatty fish. Rich in omega-3s, had salmon this week, nuts, walnuts, almonds, cashews. If you're not allergic to peanuts, eat peanuts. I love peanuts. And there's no food. The greatest food ever created is peanut butter. Let me tell you, it was the worst day of my life. I literally define this period of my life as purgatory because I'm now allergic. I eat so much of it, I ate myself into an allergy of peanut butter. And I just look at life now through a different shade. You talk about your crisis, it doesn't touch my peanut butter allergy, all right? I'm obviously being very facetious there. But green leafy vegetables, beans, spinach, kale. I wrote here Brussels sprouts, but if you forego that, Jesus understands. That's caused by the fall. Real fruits, like fruits that you have to peel. Smoothies are not fruit. They're fruit-flavored sugar intake vessels. I'll feel healthier if I eat that. No, you won't. You don't even get the fiber. You don't even poop better. Eat fruit. Eat protein every day. The Bible actually says this. This is why I'm anti-vegetarian and anti-vegan. Because the Bible says, meat for the belly and the belly for meat. God hath provided both it and them. God provided meat. And he's not talking there about vegetables. He's literally, you look up the word, it means meat. He provided meat for our intake. Well, Pastor, I just feel sad when animals die so that I can eat. That's why man has dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And that's God's design. Now, if you ultimately have a problem with that, I get it. Fine. I don't get it, I shouldn't say. But that's your choice. But understand this. A diet that is rich in animal proteins and animal fats is just substantially better for you. And the research is beginning to come out that the vegan vegetarian diets, the physical and emotional problems that they cause. And I can argue this from a biblical perspective all day long. So eat fish, eat chicken if you have to. Eat pork, eat red meat. Like if it's red and dead, go for it. The best meat, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, I'm not going to argue for you, but the best meat, in my opinion, is beef liver. Watch your tone. But eat it and eat. Now, you don't have to eat beef liver, but there's no food on the planet that is more nutrient-rich than beef liver. Matter of fact, if you want to have a great superfood before a workout and watch, you'll probably, this is not an exaggeration, you'll probably PR if you're going to PR. You'll probably, like on a PR day, like lifting heavy, you'll probably PR at least by 2 or 3 extra percent simply because you ate beef liver. No exaggeration. It is the best thing you can eat. Great for your brain and amazing for your body. You say, I don't like the flavor. We don't eat because we love it. We eat because we live. We eat to live. We don't live to eat. Some of you need to tattoo that on your fork. All right. I'm just moving on. Number three, set healthy relationship boundaries. Set good relationship boundaries. Good relationship boundaries. John chapter 13, verse number 34, the Apostle John is writing, and he's writing the words of Jesus, a quote of Jesus, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Here's a key phrase, here's the boundary. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. In other words, the world doesn't get to define what love is. Jesus said, you love one another. Now here's the boundary, as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you love one another. We could put this in parenthetically. I mean, it's not in there, but it's understood. As I have loved you. Which people say, I love you, but no, as I have loved you. That's the measure. That's the standard. That's the boundary. And there are folks in this room today who struggle with mental health because they don't set good relationship boundaries. Lisa Turkhurst, in her book, Good Boundaries and Goodbyes, says, establishing healthy parameters in your relationship is actually an act of love. How many of you know those people that don't know what personal space is? Physically or emotionally. They just, growing up, Miriam and I would say, they're just all up in your business. All the time. And they need you at the drop of a hat. And they're not responsible with the space you have given them. They're constantly stepping over the space you've given them. Some of you are like that in this room, by the way. That's why some people, I have to put, the more irresponsible a person is, the further they have to stay away. When we go to a crime scene as like the PD, and if I'm on a ride-along, they establish a perimeter. You've all seen the yellow caution tape. You know you're not supposed to go beyond that. Not everybody understands that. And some patrol officer goes out and says, hey, you've got to stay behind the yellow line. Well, yeah, but I want to see what's going on. No, this is a crime scene, and no, you're not going to see what's going on. We don't know them. We're not comfortable with them. We don't know who they are. So there's a perimeter. If they get pushy, you know what we do? We extend the perimeter. Same thing could be, it could be million military applications in that too, right? But somebody who's responsible, me, I'm being funny, but I can go pretty much anywhere at a crime scene. But it's understood that I don't get in anyone's way, and I'm not allowed to cross some invisible boundaries. And so I have to like, oh, no, I'm not going to go in there. And some of you say, hey, Chaplain, why don't you come see this? And sometimes I'm like, no, bro, I don't want to see that. And then sometimes I'm like, wait, let me get my phone. Okay. But I want to be called forward. I want to be given entrance into that. But when that entrance is done, I've got to go back. And so there's a level of responsibility that is involved. And if you have somebody constantly overstepping, or if you're the overstepper, then you need to stay back, and you need to tell people to stay back. Set good relationship boundaries. All relationships can be difficult at times, but they should not be destructive to our well-being. If you think of seeing somebody and you're like, oh, probably need a bigger boundary. Lisa Turker said that, by the way. Setting a boundary is being responsible enough to reduce the access we grant others based on their ability to be responsible with that access. People who are irresponsible with our hearts should not be granted access to our hearts. I had somebody say something really offensive to me recently. And I was ticked off about it. Bernie knows about it, John knows about it, and Debbie knows about it. Three people on the planet know about it. And I was ticked off about it. And whenever I'm normally upset, John's my first person to go to. Why? Because he's like a male woman. Meaning, he understands, but he's a lot, in many ways, a lot more, maybe less, how about if I say it this way? He's less aggressive than I am. And sometimes stuff just irritates me, so I'll go to him because I don't want Debbie to have to deal with it. And I'll be like, bro, am I wrong here? And I told him that this thing, and he's like, you're not wrong, Pastor, but this is an opportunity for you to grow in grace. Great, thanks. I don't know what you just did to my heart. I told my wife, and this was the counsel Debbie said, because she's reading this book with me, or read this book with me, and she goes, irresponsible people never get access to your heart. She goes, you just fired that person. And I was like, okay, Mom. Set good relationship boundaries. Number four, I'm hurrying. Worship daily. Worship daily. Worship daily. Now, not everything in here should you do daily, but you should worship daily. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate, notice this, day and night. Word meditate, think deeply about. You're going to really struggle to get victory and to get stronger mentally and have better mental fitness if you don't run to the source of God's word. If you're simply watching TV, eating Funyuns, and down in alcohol, don't be surprised when your mental health sucks for a long time. Well, I want to get better. Okay, then do what it takes to get better. And we're going to help you, and we're going to remind you, and we're going to encourage you, but worship daily. In his law does he meditate day and night. Psalm 119, verse number 48 says, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalm 119, 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So read the Bible, pray, listen to Christ-centered encouraging music, listen to encouraging Christian messages, but worship daily. Number five, I'm watching the clock. I got a time, and I'm going to come close to not hitting it. Now I'm going to come close to it. Go outside in the sun without sunscreen. Some people are like, I don't want to get cancer, so I wear sunscreen. So you put a chemical on your body you don't even know about. It's like this invisible thing to protect you from the sun that God created that is nutrient-rich in so many ways. Now, I'm not saying go outside and get a sunburn. I'm not saying that. Save the children, for crying out loud, Pastor. But go outside. I'm going to tell you, we're a vitamin D weak world. Especially America. Our bones are brittle. People never get in the sun. We'll all take a vitamin D supplement. Number one, it's not the same. And number two, you often forget. If you're like me, I take supplements all day long. You walk in my house, it looks like a health food store. But I forget. But God made me to go outside. Go outside. Get some sun. Every day. Now, I know some of you have to be to work at, like, you know, you be there at 6 or 5:30 in the morning or whatever. I get that. But those of you in the civilian world that don't show up or on staff at Canyon Ridge, you don't show up till noon. Ridge City Preschool and Daycare Assistant Director, 1:30. My schedule is 1:30 to 1:45. But those of you that can get there a little later, the sooner you get in the sun, the better. Matter of fact, the sooner you can get in the sun without sunglasses on for about 10 minutes a day, better. You know, some people have maybe an eye problem or an eye issue. I get that. But it actually wakes up the brain and wakes up the body. Get outside every day. Why? I came up with five reasons. Number one, God made it. And he actually used this word. It's good. God made it good. He saw that it was good. Number two, God made us for a garden. He made us for a garden. You realize when we're in heaven with the Lord for eternity, you're not going to be on some dopey cloud in a diaper playing a harp. A little thing around your head. You're not going to be there. What you're going to be is on this earth. It'll be a new version of this. It'll be a resurrected earth, if you will. But we'll still have, I believe with all my heart, we'll still have trees and mountains and beautiful places. And you know what we will do? We'll spend most of our time outside in the creation of God. Though we are called to have dominion or authority over nature, we are called to be good stewards of it. You can't be good stewards of what you're never in. If you're here in San Diego and you have a yard, number one, you're blessed. Number two, if your yard looks like something out of, you know, some jungle movie, maybe you could be a good steward with your yard. Mow that thing. Well, I pay some dude to do that. Unless you're super busy, stop being lazy and get outside. Well, but Pastor, I can hire this dude for $50 a month to do it. I understand some of us are really busy. I get that. But by and large, if you're paying some dude so you can sit inside your house and watch episode number 12 of whatever, you're just being lazy and God's called you to be outside. I want help, but I don't want to go outside. I get scratchy with grass. Put on some sunscreen. I'm kidding. Just go outside. Mow your yard. Clean it up. Get your hands dirty. Feel the dirt. If you live on a boat, push your spouse in the water. If I lived on a boat, Debbie would be a great swimmer. I'll push her in all the time. That's why she's like, oh, I get seasick. No, she doesn't. She knows me. Middle of winter, December, you know, Christmas Day. Debbie, look what I got you for Christmas. What? A bath. You know, whatever. You guys should try that. We offer marriage counseling. Number next in my thoughts, being outside puts me in my place. Indoors, I love this. I read this. I got this in study. It's not from me. Indoors, I'm in charge. I need nature to remind me that God created all of this, and I'm a really small cog in a very big world. Not even planning the universe and everything else. It just puts me in my proper place, and it reminds me that all this has been going on for thousands of years, and barring the Lord's return, it will go on for thousands more. Number next, just in my thoughts, nature teaches us the character of God. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Romans chapter 1, verse number 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. Nature so declares the character, the authority, the imagery of God that people who utterly reject God are without excuse when they stand before him as judge. How much more should nature speak to the believer? Now listen, I'm not a camper. Dan Erdl loves to camp. He's got a camper on the back of his truck. Just so while he's driving down the freeway, if he thinks like, I'll just sleep here, he can just pull over and sleep in the back of his truck on the side of the five. Me, I like to camp at a Courtyard Marriott. That's where I like to camp. But God's really convicted me about my need to be out in nature and then sleep in comfort. And out in nature and sleep in comfort. Now, if you like to camp, praise God for you. I love it. I'm thankful for you. I just, ever since I was a kid, I've had this fear when my brother took me camping one time and told me all these horror stories, and my hippocampus just freezes, and so I can't move. I'm being stupid. Number six, control your entertainment. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 5, casting down imagination and every high thing. Now, I'm going to let you write the word, and then I'm going to see it. When you're done writing, like, look at me and say amen or whatever. Okay, we'll move forward. Casting down means to throw away imagination, any thought that comes into your mind, and every high thing, lofty thing, whatever, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Cast it away. If it's in violation of biblical principles, cast it away. And bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring that into captivity. Arrest that thought. We can put it this way. Put that thought in handcuffs so that it has no power over you. Put that thought in a... The idea of captivity is literally one of like put it in a cell. I'm not trying to make more of it than it is. That's literally what it means, the idea of it. Isolate that thought and bring it into the obedience of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So here's some things. Don't watch, read, or listen to anything dark. Don't watch, read, or listen to anything dark. I'll give why, but things like this. True crime podcast. Pastor, I find that so interesting. I understand that. I do. I too find that interesting. But I also know what it does to your soul. I know what it does to your brain. There was a show that Debbie and I used to like watching, and really we just hadn't come to a place of Christian maturity. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I don't want you to see that, but I think I'm mature enough to handle it. If anybody's mature enough to handle it, it's me. Did you hear what I said? Sometimes guys will cuss around me, like Bernie, John, Zane, Charlie. Charlie's the worst. And they'll cuss around me, and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, chaps. I'm sorry, Pastor." And I look at them, and I'll often say, "I heard those before." Oh, you have? Like I've lived my entire life without hearing cuss words? Come on, my dad was a pastor. You know? No, I'm kidding. I've never heard my dad cuss. But I sometimes people are like, "Oh, I can handle this." No, you can't. And I'm going to make a statement. It's not arrogant. It's just true. I should be, and every pastor should be, one of the most spiritually mature men in the local church. If anybody could handle it, should be the pastor. It's not that we can't handle something. It's that we know we're in a war, and you're letting the enemy influence the decisions you're going to make when the enemy attacks you. The subterfuge of the enemy, you're allowing in your life. That's why the Bible says, learn not the way of the heathen. I don't want to know about true crime things. I see them. I've been dealing with them. I've been in front of, talked to, good grief, probably 50 law enforcement officials this week. Some related to some events that happened in our church recently. Some just as a chaplain. I understand true crime. I hope you never see it. It's not glamorous up front and personal. I don't think you should listen to violent music. I don't think you should watch violent shows. I'm not talking about where the bad guy gets arrested, but there's just some evil television in this world. Movies. Debbie and I, we were walking by a theater, and I just wanted to look. And so I'm looking at this theater, and I saw this theater, and I was just checking it out. And there it was in Elisa Viejo, an Edwards theater. There's 24 theaters there. There was one PG-13 and one PG movie. And what would that be? 22 rated R movies of varying degree of evilness. And I just thought, I wasn't trying to be a prude. I wasn't trying to be legalistic. I was just looking at that going, that doesn't help anyone. Books? Come on. John chapter 10, verse number 10 says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. Those things don't bring life, they bring death. They're actually about death. Don't watch them. That's why at our house we have a rule. If it doesn't make me laugh, it doesn't enter our screen. You say, well, I want to deal with the real world. Well, TV's not the real world. You're like, man, Pastor, I bet as a cop, you're super busy. Let me tell you what the real world cop world is like, especially in La Jolla. Now, Southeast San Diego, downtown San Diego, Mid-City, Western, our area over in Hillcrest, that area, Ocean Beach, they can be a little different. PB is a tad bit different. But here's what it is for me. We get in a car and we just drive around waiting for something to happen. And we're looking and looking and looking and looking. We could sit in a car for 8 hours, 10 hours, and absolutely nothing happened. I mean, absolutely nothing happened. And we get done and they're like, sorry, chaps, nothing happened today. And this is what I'll say. Well, we had good coffee and we had some really good donuts, better than those stupid donuts in Costa Mesa. Number next on the thing about what you watch. Don't watch or listen to anything hypersexualized or sexual. Every man in this room knows what it does to you. And if you say, it doesn't affect me, no, it's affected you so much that you've become deadened to it, and now you need something more grotesquely worse to turn you on. Well, I can see stuff and it just not bother me. Oh, then your senses are deadened. And they need to be brought back to life. And the way to do that is to not watch or listen to anything like that. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes in Job 31:1. Why then should I, notice this word, think? When I first learned that verse, I learned it wrong. I kept saying, look, why should I look upon a maid? It was actually because our youth professor in college said, look upon a maid. And then it was a while ago. I'm like, it's not look, it's think. So you can think on a maid that you're not looking at. You can think on somebody other than your spouse that you're not looking at. And in our world, you have to be careful of that. Some of the billboards even. Summertime's coming. If you live in PB or OB, oh my word. Rent out your house and move to Imperial County. Lastly, be very careful with social media. There needs to be a balance of this, but let me say this. Dopamine is released when you get a text ding, a buzz, or a notification on your phone. When Facebook notifies you, texts you, whatever, then there is a big time dopamine release. Dopamine is the same chemical that is released from alcohol, nicotine, gambling, and drugs. Meaning we have an entire generation of people addicted to social media. And we have a world of young people today who have grown up with only understanding social media. I was talking to a parent recently. It's a split home situation. And one of the parents was telling me that the other parent doesn't care about their kids' internet and social media usage as long as they're quiet. And he was taking care of their child. And the child comes in, the child's 7 years old, and says, hey, would you brush my teeth for me? He's like, I'm not brushing your teeth for you. Well, mama does, so I can watch videos. And the kid would watch videos while the parent brushes the kid's teeth. Kids are addicted. Too much. Well, there's some positives to social media. I wouldn't argue against that. But it's destroying our relationships. It's anything but social. If you have phantom beeps, like, oh, did my phone just ding? You've got a problem. If you walk around reading your phone, you got a problem. If you have two headphones in walking down the street watching a video, you've got an addiction. And it's addiction, by the way, that is now being pushed by psychologists that we would limit usage to social media and technology to children just like we do alcohol. Because giving your kid a phone and access to social media is like giving your kid a fifth of whiskey saying, be quiet, just do whatever you need to do. It has the same addictive qualities and the same dopamine releases. And we've got Christians in church that come, sit in church, and before service, this is what they're doing. They've got Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or TikTok. If you have TikTok on your phone, God help you. And I know it's bigger than the others. I get that. I'm just saying, being very clear there. And they're just watching everything, and then church starts, they turn it off, and then they're like, I didn't get much out of the service. No, you've been entertained by something that is in opposition to the Word of God. We feel more isolated all the time and yet spend an aggregate amount of time on social media, which is intentionally and intensely antisocial. Number seven, have mental fitness buddies. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Proverbs 27:17. Simon Sinek says this, never cry alone. Have some mental fitness buddies. Have some people in your life that you can ask questions about, or people that you can just call and say, hey, I really just need you to listen. And you need more than one. Why? Because they might be on a date with their spouse and can't answer the phone. You need somebody else to call. I didn't remember what you said about us just listening and hearing each other breathe on the phone, but that was pretty much my dating relationship with Debbie. And so I was kind of used to it, brought back some good memories. But the reality is, I didn't know what to say, and I find in difficult cases of counseling, most of the time I don't know what to say. I'm just present. One of the reasons I like being a chaplain is it reminds me of a lot of things from my younger years, and one of them is my ministry is just a ministry of presence. I just need to be there for them. You say, well, what are you doing in the quiet time? Normally, I'm praying. With Jay, I was playing video games. But, no, I'm kidding. I don't have them. But I'm just praying. Like, Lord, either give me words to say or bring comfort to their heart. Have some people in your life that you can call. And by the way, just jump out on a ledge a little bit and say, I need a mental fitness or a mental health buddy. I don't care what you say. Could we talk every once in a while? And if you don't feel up to that, don't feel obligated to say yes. There are some people I would be like, no. Why? Because you've violated some boundaries before. And I don't feel like I would do well at that. Jay said that earlier. I need to pass you off to somebody else. Because I wouldn't do a good job at that. I don't do a good job counseling people who talk all the time. My wife loves that kind of stuff. But if you're like an intense talker, like if you talk and talk and talk and talk, I just want to shoot myself. Like I start praying for the rapture. You have no idea how many times I've prayed for the rapture in counseling sessions. Now I'm better now than I used to be. That doesn't mean I like it more. I'm just better at cutting folks off. I just know that I might not be the best buddy for somebody. I can't work out with everybody. People have workout buddies. If you want somebody to like go on long, slow heart rate walks and then you carry a 5-pound weight and you do tricep extensions and the fat jiggles and you do all that, that's just not me. That's just not me. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not something like, hey, would you work out with me? No. Why? Because, John, you're wearing leg warmers again and we're not going to do that. Number 8, attend church. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That means building up and encouraging one another. This ought to be the best place of encouragement in all the world. This is why I get like literally justifiably angry when I hear people making fun of folks with the intent of dividing or being superior. Now, joking around to bring cohesion to a place and bringing people in, that's one thing. I love that. That's how I always want to be. And sometimes we all make mistakes, but I can't stand when people intentionally try to mock or ridicule somebody to make them feel down or to push them away. That is anti-biblical. It is anti-Christian. We want to encourage one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And if you love hard, you can joke around hard. If all you do is joke around, there's no evidence of love. Be a part of a community Bible study. You need social connections, especially face-to-face. Matter of fact, when people say, Pastor, I need some counseling. Sorry, here, are you involved in community Bible study? Well, no. Okay, that's where we start. That's where we start. Let's get involved in that. And we're going to help you get to that place. Get involved in community Bible study. Number 9, memorize scripture. Well, what do I memorize? I'm going to give you 4 verses. Really, a total of 6 verses. Well, one of them's the same passage. It's just 6 to 8. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's my life verse. Proverbs 3, verse 25 and 26, be not afraid of sudden fear. It's talking about a panic attack. Neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and keep thy foot from being taken. 2 Corinthians 10:5, we looked at it earlier, casting down imagination. And then Philippians 4, 6 to 8, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And it ends with, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, lovely, just, of good report, pure, lovely. Think on these things. It's going to take some work to memorize scripture, but it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Memorize scripture. I can't say that enough. It's not one thing, but that's an important thing. Number 10, sleep. Sleep helps maintain cognitive skills such as attention, learning, memory. Poor sleep can make it much more difficult to cope even with relatively minor stressors and can even impact our body's ability to see the world accurately. Colin Powell said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. I know that when I struggle to sleep, man, I struggle. Sleep. And you know this, if you struggle with depression, if you struggle with anxiety, sleep can often be very, very fleeting. I don't sleep well. I come by it genetically. My mom was terrible at sleeping. I'm a bad sleeper. I do everything I can to sleep. They'll say, have you tried this thing called melatonin? I have a melatonin smoothie before bed. Like I take melatonin, ZMA, other things. I take Benadryl. Debbie, every once in a while, just hit me in the head with a mallet. My doctor said, Chris, I don't like some of the things that you're taking to go to sleep, like Benadryl. I said, okay, what do I do? She goes, try this. I tried all these things. They didn't work. She said, well, I don't like the Benadryl, but it's better than not sleeping. Sleep is important. Psalm 4, verse number 8, I'll lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. You should memorize that. Psalm 127, 2, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth the beloved rest. Sleep. Schedule it and do it. Get adequate sleep. Sleep is humbling. By the way, most people stay awake in our world not because they're working, because they're watching stuff. That next YouTube video about that next cat who's doing that next cute thing is not worth you losing your sleep over. Unless that cat is being filleted and barbecued, then don't watch it. People and their cats, they're just evil. Judith got a black cat. You guys pray for her. She's like, Dad, when you coming to visit? When we killing the cat? Dad, I love him. Good, I'd love to have him with some sweet and sour sauce. So he's only 4 pounds. I'm letting him fat up, though. Fatten up. Number 11, clean your house. And have music and smells that make you happy. I just like jazz music. And I like happy jazz music. You say, well, I don't like jazz music. That's just so bad for you. I like classical from like moral people, like Bach and Mozart. Good music, bad people. And you're dumb because jazz is way better. And it's American music. It's not some German, European, fascist music. It's the music of God's people. So, chosen generation, a royal priesthood, all right? But seriously, have music and smells that make you happy. Matter of fact, I love cologne. Matter of fact, I walked up, Jeremy goes, Pastor, you smell good today. And I was like, Jeremy, I smell good every day. And Jeremy is a cologne guy too. Here's a reason for perfume, biblical reason, perfume and cologne. Now, you don't have to do it. You could be wrong with God. Proverbs 27:9, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. When I smell something good, I'm happy. That's why, by the way, that's why we have a scent machine in the auditorium. I want it to smell good when you walk in here. How many have been into a church that smelled like a Goodwill without the stuff? How many know what I'm talking about? Like, oh my word, is this somebody's basement? Where's Judith's cat at? We had a family that said one time, if you keep that smell coming, we're not coming to Canyon Ridge. And I said, man, I'll pray for you. You should find a new place to go. Say, you really? Yeah, why? Because ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. When it smells good in here, I want to be in here. I don't like bad smells. Number 12, everybody knew I was going to get here, so I saved it to last. Exercise. Well, Pastor, I want mental health, but I don't want to get off my couch and stop eating ice cream. I know people like, I'm just not healthy enough to go to church, but I'm healthy enough to go out to eat. Throughout the Bible, we have words like strength and work and labor, and it all denotes physical exertion. You say, does the Bible say you have to work out? In the Bible, you either worked or died. Jesus walked everywhere. You want to walk 17 miles a day? We're good. Physical activity, they say, according to Robbie Burham wrote this in March 3rd, 2023, and it was fact-checked by Alexandra Saffins, who's a PhD in exercise and depression and mental health, which did an extensive analysis. And they said physical activity is 1.5 times more effective at reducing mid to moderate symptoms of depression, psychological stress, and anxiety than medication or cognitive behavior therapy. 1.5 times more effective than taking a drug. And by the way, we know that to be true. We know that to be accurate. All forms of physical activity benefit health, and the most recent study that they referenced found that it doesn't have to be a high-intensity workout. You don't have to work out with me to get the benefit. Well, what do? Go for a walk that is moderately intense, and go for 40 minutes. Go for 30 minutes. Out in the sun if you can. Not on a treadmill. If that's all you have and that's what you have to do because where you're at, I get it. I'm saying if you have the capability, get out and do that. If you have a yard, garden. If you can be a part of a community, garden. Exercise. Now, the most beneficial we found, according to a recent Harvard study, type of exercise is aggressive weightlifting. You might say, well, I just don't like going to the gym. I don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do and you need help, come talk to me. I'll help you. But they have guides on machines that tell you what to do. And I tell you, don't go too heavy, too fast. Don't be silly. But resistance and exertion flushes the toxins out of the body, helps recalibrate hormones, helps to remove the stresses from our life, and it releases endorphins so much so that we have a phrase for it called a runner's high. Like you get done running, you're like, oh, I feel amazing. And you say, well, I don't want to do any of those. What do I do? Buy a sauna and put a sauna in your house at the very least. Or I could show you how to make one, much cheaper, for about 20% of what you'd have. That's what I did just because I wanted to see if I could. And I was in the sauna last night, and I knew I wouldn't get a chance to work out until later today. I was in the sauna this morning, and was in a sauna. It's about 160 degrees and about 140,000% humidity. I don't know what the humidity is. That's not even a percentage, but it was high. And I had to stay in for a brief period of time, and I got my internal core temperature, which you want your internal core temperature in a sauna, to get to 101.2. Mine only got to about 100.2 because I didn't have a long enough time to stay in it, but it was better than nothing. Got out of that, jumped into a wonderfully cold shower, stayed in that until my core temperature came back down, got out, and felt better than if I drank 4 cups of coffee, which is saying something for me. Exercise. Do something. Be active. Lift weights. Play basketball with your kids. Go for a walk first thing in the morning. I just don't have time. I'm just telling you from my personal experience. I know we're busy. But most folks, if they would curtail their entertainment, would have more than enough time to exercise. Now, some of you ladies, you have kids. Get one of those nice strollers. Dads, buy those for your wife. I'm not talking about the one at Walmart that you zip tie together. Get a decent stroller and go for long walks. I want to be gracious here. You don't have to do, again, you don't have to do what I do. That's totally fine. Here's some things you could do as well. Park as far away from the front door at the grocery store as possible. Your car won't get dinged as much, and it's a little bit more of a walk. Now, I'm not a big fan of the 10,000 steps a day, because you could take 10,000 steps to the fridge. Well, some of you are like, oh, yeah, I do that already. But taking it in a holistic approach, exercise. Get it. If you like playing basketball, play basketball. If you like playing tennis, okay. I just don't know how to play tennis, so I have to make fun of it. But do that. If you like riding a bike, ride a bike. It doesn't matter what you do, but get outside and do something and do it regularly, and it will help immensely.